you would, in your Bibles, turn to Galatians chapter 6. We'll be looking again at verse 10 as we did last Sunday night for just a few minutes last Sunday night. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. As you turn to that particular portion of Scripture, I want to call your attention to the walls here in the auditorium and to our three purposes as they're up on the wall, and that is of loving God. As we think about our purpose as individuals according to the Bible, as our purpose as church according to the Bible, according to the Scriptures, it is our purpose that we would love God and love Him supremely. And again, we think about when the lawyers came to Jesus and asked Him, what was the greatest commandment in the law? He said, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it, love thy neighbor as thyself. And we, again, as Christians, realize that our purpose is to love God supremely. Love Him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. The Old Testament talks about loving with all our strength. We should love the Lord with everything that we have. Our whole being, our whole spiritual being, our whole body, just loving Him with everything that we've got. And then we think about growing together. As a person, once a person is saved, once a person has accepted Christ as Savior, they should endeavor, with the help of the Holy Spirit and others, to grow in their faith, to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as Paul's admonition was there in Ephesians, and that we get to know the Lord, develop a personal relationship with Him. Again, I want you to be reminded this morning that Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a relationship. Christianity is not a religion. It's not a set of rules. Christianity is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's Christ's desire. Christ's desire is to have a personal relationship with us. God's desire for us is that we walk with Him, that we talk with Him, that we love Him, and so forth. And so we think about that growing together. And that's why Three to Thrive, Dr. Lee Robertson, pastor of one of the biggest, greatest churches in America for years, used to say that to his congregation all the time. Three to Thrive, Three to Thrive. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Three to Thrive. If you're going to grow in the Lord, you need to be here three times a week. And I want to encourage you in the new year just to be faithful and encourage you to be at all the services. And it will help you grow in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It will help you develop as a Christian. It will help you to thrive as a Christian. Again, life was not meant to be endured. It was meant to be enjoyed. And our Christian life and our life with the Lord was not meant to be endured. It's meant to be enjoyed. And if you're going to enjoy this life, you need to develop a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and not just use Him as an ambulance, as a 911 call. Amen? Yeah. Amen. I'm glad He's there when we need Him. When I need to make the call, 911, He's there. Whether I've talked with Him or not, I'm glad He loves me that much. But I want a personal relationship with Him. Number three, and this will be our emphasis this year, is upon service, serving others. As we think about that, we understand and know that we were put on this world for a purpose. That purpose was to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 29. And can I tell you, our purpose as Christians is to follow in His steps. To follow in His steps. In other words, the attributes of Jesus or the characteristics of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, those are the same characteristics and attributes that we should try to mimic. That we should try to and aspire with the help and power of the Holy Spirit to be like Him. And as we think about Jesus said, I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. He came to minister. He came to be a servant. He came to do for others. And we're going to see that this morning, the emphasis upon the Scripture, upon doing for others. Look at Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. I'm not going to take the opportunity this morning to give the context. We're going to preach on that again, maybe even not next Sunday, but the next one. But this morning, I just want to deal with the one text here in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You today for Your love and grace and mercy that You've extended to us. Help us, Lord, to see the example that You set for us in loving others and doing for others. And help us, Lord, to follow in Your steps. Help us to do good, to do right, to be virtuous, to be kind to others around us. We ask this in Your name. Amen. We look back in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, the Bible says, bear ye one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And so fulfill the law of Christ. Some of you will understand and know that the book of Galatians was written, this book was written to the church, or to the churches, the province of Galatia, that was written there to the Judaizers who were adding works to grace. In other words, they were adding works to salvation. They were trying to go back or putting themselves under that Old Testament civil law. In other words, they were saying, okay, yes, you can get saved by grace through faith, but you still need to keep the dietary law, which means no catfish. That ain't happening. They said, oh yeah, you can accept Christ as Savior, you can follow the Lord, but you have to put yourself under this particular law. You have to, you know, you can't wear this type of clothes, you can't do this type of thing. I mean, all these, they put themselves back under that law. And Paul, in the book of Galatians, is simply saying, listen, it's salvation is by grace through faith and nothing else. Plus and minus nothing. It's through Jesus Christ and by grace and faith alone. Amen? For by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation is found and is found in the Lord Jesus Christ and His works. And so, just kind of keep that in mind now. As he talks about this, verse 2 speaks about the law of Christ, that law of Christ is bearing one another's burdens. Jesus said Himself in John 13, verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. That we love one another, that we put others first, that we put our needs behind and put others' needs ahead of our own. Jesus also said in Matthew 7:12, therefore all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even also to them, for this is all the law and the prophets. Jesus is simply saying all those Old Testament laws are summarized into one. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. The golden rule. I remember my science class in junior high, eighth grade science class, that golden rule being put up on the wall. I'm sure it may not be there anymore, but it used to be there. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And can I tell you that we all would be better off by living by that rule? Because it's a biblical rule. It's a biblical principle. Selflessness does not come natural. Selfishness comes natural. You don't have to teach a child how to take somebody, another child's toy. They do it naturally. You have to teach them not to do that. Amen. It's not natural. In other words, performing this particular command of God that Paul relates to us in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, will not come natural. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. That will not come naturally. I'll show you that here in a moment some more. Others first. Serving others. Doing for others. Everybody here is familiar with the Peanuts comic strip. One of the comic strips, Lucy asked Charlie Brown, why are we here on earth? And he replies, to make others happy. And she ponders this for a moment and then asks, then why are the others here? I nailed it. First time ever. Others. Doing for others. Doing good. And I mentioned last Sunday night, doing good as opposed to doing bad. We have a lot in this world who are doing bad. And we as Christians are commanded, we are exhorted, we're beseeched to do good unto all men. Do good. That simply means to be virtuous and kind. Excuse me, to do right. To be selfless. By the way, the Webster's Dictionary I had 27 definitions. And I won't go into them all. Do good. Do good. The New Year's choking me up. The precept, we see first off the precept or the command that's given here in verse 10. I want you to look at that. And that again, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good. That's the command. That's the precept this morning. How different life would be if each of us lived in light of doing good. Think about that for a moment. If everyone on the earth lived in light of doing good and doing for others, there would be a lot less problems in our world. As we think about this command that Paul is reiterating to us, we think about it practically first. In other words, Christianity, above all other religions, teaches doing for others. In other words, above Buddhism, above Confucianism, above all these other religions, if you get into your Bible, you read it, you'll find that New Testament Christianity is absolutely surrounded and made up of doing good. Doing for others. Being good. I think about that for a moment. We think about doing good. We think about the practical applications of helping others with their personal needs, such as clothing, or we think about food and the difference of food banks we have and the Salvation Army, and there's many parachurch organizations out there who are providing these needs. Maybe it's the time that somebody, you know, at the gas station approached you and said, "Hey, I just need a little help with some gas," and you said, "All right, pull on over," and gave them a little gas. I personally don't give out cash money a lot of times. If they meet me at the gas station, I say, "Hey, I'll get you some gas. Pull over here." But just doing something practically for someone else. It's giving that loan to your child. I knew that would hit home. It's giving the coat to that person in need. It's practically doing good. And each of us ought to be instilled in us as Christians to do good to others. To look for opportunities to do good practically for others. Not just talk about it, not just preach about it, but do good. Do good to others. And can I remind you that the stuff we got, the Bible makes it very clear that we're just simply stewards of it anyway. That our job, all the stuff that we've got, all the possessions that we have are given to us by God to simply manage, and that we are to be good stewards of what we're managing, and therefore there ought to be some room in there to give to others. Amen. There ought to be some room in there to look on the needs of others, to provide for the needs of others. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4 says, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." In other words, it's not just when people approach you, but it's looking out for others and their needs when they don't approach you. It's having that insight with your children or with your grandchildren or with your neighbor or with an aunt or with a cousin or with a coworker or whomever it may be, and being able to discern and say, "Hey, they have a need, and look, the Lord has blessed me, and therefore I can meet that need." Doing good for others. Let us do good. But I want to take it even to a higher plane and tell you this morning that the greatest possible good that we can do is giving someone the gospel. In other words, giving the gospel is the greatest good. Let's always be reminded, let's always come back to the spiritual, and that is to meet the spiritual needs of people, to give them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many see the obligations of meeting the physical needs. I mean, all of us here everyone here would have a soft heart towards someone who needs a meal. Everyone here would have a soft heart towards someone who needs a coat. Everyone here would have a soft heart with someone who may not be able to pay their electric bill, you know, after last night. All of us would see the necessity of providing these physical needs. But many times, we as Christians, we kind of stop there. I mean, a lot of times we can see the necessity for imparting knowledge. We have schools, right? We see the necessity for, you know, giving our substances to others. We see the necessity for giving our time and efforts and our physical energies to others. Some people are involved in charities and benefits and whatever the case may be. But so many times the line is drawn there. Many times we do not see the necessity, and we don't go far enough in seeing the necessity of the spiritual need. We see the need for the physical, and we do something about it most of the time. But many times when we are approached or we see the need of someone spiritually, many times we don't have the same tender heart about that as we do about providing a coat over here. You know, we'll give a can of soup to somebody, but man, to give them a track, you know, we'll give that child a coat, but what about giving that child a track? The greatest possible good that we can do for someone is giving them the gospel. It's giving them the knowledge of the saving grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that they might have eternal life. We must, again, not draw the line at benefits, not draw the line at charities, not draw the line at simply meeting the physical needs, but we should look for the opportunity to provide the spiritual needs of someone. Whether it's in an elevator or in a hospital, whether it's our next door neighbor or co-worker, we need to be about the Father's business of, again, giving out the best possible good, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. The highest good. It is the highest good because it's the deepest need. Our world has a great and deep need for the gospel. It is the highest good because it brings eternal good to the soul of that individual. Jesus saved us. And can I remind you this morning that He alone can save the world. There's a world in darkness today, and Jesus Christ is the light. And we need to be sharing the light with those around us, doing good. We have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto what? All men. So not only do we see the precept or the command, but we see the scope of that precept, the scope of that command. And that is that we do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. We think about that for a moment, that God is no respecter of persons. Aren't you glad of that? I think about that verse in Romans 10:12 that says, "For there is neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free, but all in all the same." God is the same to everyone. It doesn't matter whether you're red, yellow, black, and white. They are precious in His sight. Amen. A lot of us learned that in Sunday school when we were kids. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Well, you say, what does that mean? It means that we're to do good not just to the Jew. Now, this was written to the Galatians churches, these churches. And He was just reminding them, hey, it's not just your responsibility to give the gospel to the Jews. We're to give the gospel to everyone. Listen this morning, we are to be no respecters of persons. We're to do good not to just the Jew, not just the believers, not just to other Christians, but we're to do good to all men. Well, what if they don't deserve it? Doesn't matter. It doesn't say if they deserve it or not. It just says do good unto all men. And that's one very difficult thing about the principles that God teaches us in the New Testament concerning Christianity, and that is that we're to be good to our enemies. We're to pray for those who despitefully use us. You think about that for a moment now. We're to be kind to those who are unkind to us. That's following in Jesus' steps. It's easy to do good to those who do good to us. But we're talking about here doing good to all men, even those who do bad things to us. That man, that person that cuts you off on the freeway, you got to do good to them. You don't have to honk your horn unless you're in danger. Then honk on it as loud as you can. Do good unto all men, everybody. As we think about this again, we think about the slums. We think about the poor. We think about that tribe in Africa. I want you to see this not just doing good here, but broaden the tent here a little bit. Broaden the circle. Think about it. We're doing good unto what? All men. So therefore, we need to be reminded that we're to do good to those in Texas. We're to do good to those around the world. There is a great need. The need is great. And can I tell you, the help is disproportionate. I don't know how many. I know there's over 400 independent Baptist churches within a 100-mile circle of the Metroplex. That's independent Baptist churches. I don't know how many. There's probably 5,000. No, it's no telling how many Baptist churches in Metroplex. But you can go places around the world where there's not one. Sometimes our help is a little disproportionate, you know? I just want to encourage you. Remember your missionaries. They're there for a reason. If we're going to help all men, then we need to be involved in missions. Involved in supplying the gospel, that greatest need, to everyone in the world. All men. Think about the needs around the world. Here we have churches on every corner, per se. I know that's getting less and less. Here we have churches sometimes fighting over other people, churches fighting against churches. And there's places around the world where there is no churches. Boy, the need is great that we are to do good unto all men. Do good to all. Why should we do good to all? Why should we do right? Why should we be virtuous and kind to all? And I think the practical application is that we might be a good witness to them. In other words, we think about it just for a moment. There's a lot of talk, but people need not only see or hear our words, they need to see our life. They need to see that we practice what we preach. Too many Christians live a life of a hypocrite, of different faces. They come to church on Sunday, dress up, come to church, and live and act one way, and go out into the workforce on Monday and act another way. Christianity is not about that, folks. Following Jesus is not about living two lives. Christianity is about living a godly life every day. It's about doing right, not just on Sunday, but every day. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It's about doing right all the time. In order that we might please God. In order that we might be a witness to those around us. Titus said to maintain good works. We ought to maintain good works. It's not just about our words, but it's about our works. Our works should back up our words. Many times we as Christians have a difficult time meeting the spiritual needs of others because our life does not match up what we preach. Many times we have a difficult time of meeting the spiritual needs of others because we don't practice what we preach. Well, let us be reminded this morning we are to do good all the time. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 15 says, "For so is the will of God that we with well-doing, let me read that again. 1 Peter 2:15. "For so is the will of God that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." You want to silence the critics of Christianity in America today? Do good. You want to silence the Bill Maher and the idiots on TV? Do good. Live right. Live right. I'm sorry I called Bill Maher an idiot, but he is. Appreciate that. You do good. Just do right. Do good all the time. I don't think Jesus let up for a day, do you? I think I'm going to take Tuesday off. I'm going to do right the rest of the week, but I'm going to take Tuesday off. No, do right. Do good unto all men. And then the verse goes on to say, do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. It's unbelievable as a pastor to think about over the years the various times in which I've seen fellow Christians bickering and fighting against one another. To see various Christian believers, brothers and sisters in Christ, who would gossip and down others in the family of God. Boy, let us not be about that, right? Boy, don't let our tongue be as long as the altars up here. Let us be careful. Let us love one another. In fact, the Bible says in 1 John 3:4, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. You know what John's saying there? He's saying, we know we have passed from death into life. That simply means we know we're saved. We know we're children of God. And one of the signs, one of the points that will make that very evident is that we have a love for brothers and sisters in Christ. I don't know about you, but one of the signs I'm a Crawford is because I love my brother in spite of him. My brother Danny, 4 years older than me. He's unbelievable. I have to love him no matter what, you know? I do. I'm kidding. I love him. The sign of my Crawford, the sign I'm part of the Crawford family is because I have a love for my brother. I have a love for my mom and my dad. Can I tell you this morning that a sign or an attribute, a characteristic that you are a child of God is you have a love for brothers and sisters in Christ. And I would just say just the opposite of that. If you don't love your brother and sister in Christ, you may want to check up whether or not you are a part of the family of God. Love the brethren. You'll know you pass from death and life. You have a love for the brethren. Love those. Do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. We should have a love for each other as Christians. I can't I say that loud enough? Think about that for a moment. The priority of family. And we have this physically speaking, don't we? I mean, I'm going to take care of my family before I take care of you. I'm sorry. I love you. I'd do a lot for you. And a lot of times I write on my card, if we can do anything, I mean all that, but my family comes first. And can I tell you, when it comes to doing for others, the family of God comes first. Not at the exclusion of doing for others. It's not what the Bible's saying here. It's just saying first priority. Because how can the family of God do for others and serve others here and abroad if our own needs are not met? How can we dish out and fill the plate for somebody else if our plate is empty? We must do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. We share with fellow believers in order that we might share with others. It's all about others. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto those of the household of faith. Let's go back to the first part of the verse. As we therefore have opportunity. Opportunity. This word is simply meaning while we have time. While we have time. It even goes on, the Greek here is even explaining more so that it's about while we have time in this life. As we therefore have opportunity in this life, let us do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. Man, our time on earth is just a little speck of sand compared to eternity. The Bible refers to our life as vapor that appeareth for a little while and vanisheth away. I tell you what, you don't know. Nobody knows what tomorrow may bring forth. Well, let us be careful. Let us work while it is day. Let us be about the Father's business while we have time. Let us be about the Father's business while we have opportunity. While we have opportunity. By the way, it says, let us do. I think that it's not just talking about the opportunities that come to us, but it's also about making opportunities. Hello? It's about doing for others. It's about pursuing opportunities to do for others. I know as the Good Samaritan walked down the road and he saw that man lying in a ditch. Two men had already passed by, but the Good Samaritan stooped down and picked the man up and helped him and bound his wounds and gave him a place to stay. He found an opportunity. He found an opportunity. You see, but my Bible goes further than that. It says for us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It doesn't just for us to sit back and yes, we'll see from time to time those laying in the ditch whom we can help. But it's more so than that. It's going to find those in the ditch. It's going out of our way to be a help and to do good to those whom we come in contact with on purpose. On purpose. Let us do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. We have a limited time, but we have unique opportunity. I'm just amazed. And I know this is old hat, but I'm amazed at this stuff, you know, Facebook. I mean, Miss Roberta is sick, if you didn't know that, our normal pianist, and she's sick, so yesterday she decided she wouldn't be able to make it today, which is fine. And our scanner upstairs was broke. And so in order to get Miss Christie the choir music, we took an iPhone and took pictures of the music. And then sent it to her. That's amazing. That's amazing. The new song, the new little chorus we learned this morning about doing good. Man, was able to text her and say, hey, Paige such and such, if you can be ready. And man, she was so gracious to practice last night, I'm sure, and get ready for this morning. We appreciate Miss Christie. Isn't that good? Think of the technology, the unique opportunity we have in this day and age to do good for others. I mean, the opportunity to on the internet this morning for people to watch the service from around the world or wherever they may be. No doubt some who are sick this morning watching the service, because I know many of you have said so. What an opportunity. What a day to be alive. What a unique opportunity in this day and age to reach others with the cause of Jesus Christ. What a great opportunity we have to meet the deepest need of others by way of technology and so forth. I mean, my car goes 70 miles an hour. By the way, my car will go a bunch more than that. Sometimes I have to find out just how fast it'll go, just to see. I don't drive a horse and buggy around. And the opportunities we have by way of communication and technology, all the things, we have a unique opportunity today to reach others to the cause of Christ. Do, that means seek after opportunities to reach others. Every situation should be seen as an opportunity to do good. To do good. Now, meeting the physical needs, yes. Meeting those physical needs, yes. Don't leave off those things. Don't leave off giving somebody a coat. Don't leave off giving somebody some food or shelter. Don't leave off helping with the sick and the infirm and so forth. But the deepest needs, the greatest needs, should not be neglected. I think about that for a moment. The neglected opportunities that we have had to tell others of Jesus Christ. Hadn't you ever been in a situation where your Holy Spirit just touched your heart, said, won't you say something to Him, and you didn't do it? Yeah. That neglected opportunity to do good. That person who was emotionally hurting and just having a terrible time in their relational world. By the way, the cure for the relational world and cure for depression and cure for many of these things is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And when you see somebody stressed out to the max, give them the gospel. Many times we neglect those opportunities. But let us be about doing good. Don't let us neglect the opportunities that the Holy Spirit gives us to tell others about Jesus Christ. By the way, this also would apply to us corporately as a church. Can I tell you that Heritage Baptist Church has a great opportunity here in Haslett? Heritage Baptist Church has a great opportunity in the state of Texas. I'm excited about starting a church in Corpus Christi. I hope you are too, Brother Stone. I'm excited about it. What a great opportunity we have. And God has sent us men who are willing to go and start churches. We have a great opportunity here in America to start churches and do for the cause of Christ. And around the world, our missionaries. I'm looking forward to Brother Boltikoff being with us tonight, missionary to Brazil. As a church, we must take our opportunities to do the greatest possible good to those around us, to give the gospel out. As we have therefore opportunity, let's take our opportunities to do good. Let's seek opportunities to do good unto all men, not just those whom are good to us, not just those who treat us right, but to those who don't. Not just to the rich, not just to the middle class, but to the poor, to the needy. Let us be about doing good as individuals and as a church. Do good morally. Morally, live right. You know, take the new year to start out right, or, you know, get away from that immorality that may be in your life. Whatever it may be. Do right. Live right. Be spiritual. Give the gospel out. Do good. Being good, we might be a witness to those around us. Can I say that we have the highest good missions, given the good news of Jesus Christ to others? Others is what it's all about, folks. Again, mowing the yard of your neighbor across the street may be the biggest influence you have on him to give him the gospel. You getting up this morning and heading out to church was a testimony to somebody on your block. You coming back tonight is a testimony to somebody in your block. And even Wednesday night, they might call you a fanatic. But it's going to be a testimony to them. Three to thrive. Others. Others. Lord, help me to live from day to day in such a self-forgetting way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Others, Lord, yes, others. Let this my motto be. Help me to live for others, that I may live like Thee. I want to follow in Jesus' steps. Let's all stand. We have a verse of invitation, hymn 153, I Surrender All. Others, as we have therefore opportunity, well, we have a great opportunity. Let us do good unto all men, especially to our brothers and sisters in Christ, others. Let's be about serving others and doing for others. Let's